Hi, this is Jeffrey O. Wilson, senior editor at PC Magazine, and you are on the Dope Science Show. Stay tuned for some more dope science.
Hey, everyone. This is the Dope Science Show, and I am Tensie J. Taylor. Excited to be a guest.
Hey, this is Richard Wright, your local rap artist from Los Angeles, and I am here on the Dope Science Show talking about science and music and other cool things.
My name is One Cool Blurred, or Dr. Paul McNeil, and I'm on the Dope Science Show, where we talk about changing the narrative and making science dope for people of color.
Okay, this is Dave Beck, and I've been on a Dope Science Show with the dopest girl I ever known in my life, Ben Diego, and her name is, say it again.
Science Stuff with Steph.
Science Stuff with Steph, that's right. She's a great lady, guys. I hope you tune into her show.
My name's Damien Swaby, and I'm here on the Dope Science Show, the best podcast out there today.
Hey there, everybody. This is Maya Anika, visual artist and mental health advocate and speaker of the Spectrum blog, here with Stephanie at the Dope Science Show, and you should be here too. Go Steam!
Yeah! Hey, what's up, fellow people? What's up? My name is Natasha Wallington, and you just heard me on the Dope Science Show. Have a good day, y'all.
Awesome.
Hello, welcome to the Dope Science Show with Stephanie Lowe, a.k.a. Science Steph with Steph. Thank you for your ears and minds. I hope that the show sparks new ideas, new opportunities, and conversations. I want us to learn and grow. We are all curious, innovative, and experimental in our daily lives. We are all dope scientists. Today's show features a candid conversation I had with my good friend, Jermaine Hughes. This episode is about how do you overcome your daily life challenges to take on a big goal. Jermaine recently paid off a huge portion of his credit card debt, and this guy is positive. This guy is dedicated. He is hardworking. He is motivated, and he's got like 3 jobs. He doesn't have an easy life. He's that everyday guy, but he's got dreams. And I just see him becoming something amazing. He is amazing now. And I just see his platform growing. And I wanted to get a little bit of that vibe from him. A little bit of that motivation from him. I have my debts. I need to pay him off. So he gives us some really good tips on exactly how he did it. Very detailed, by the way. And what motivated him to do so. At the end of the episode, I include a little bit of science that I read as a follow-up about what portions of our brain are engaged in self-control. And just a scientific look on how some of these techniques that Jermaine implemented can be viewed from a research perspective. Well, I hope you guys enjoy the show. And I appreciate all your love, all your comments, all your retweets. You guys are the bomb, and I love you for that. And I'll talk to you soon. Let's start the show.
What I thought my wife should be in. I got tired of the job telling me I couldn't go see my baby girl at 10 o'clock in her academic award because this is workout. I got tired. I got tired of eating out of trash cans. I got tired of watching everybody else graduate. I got tired of seeing people ride first class. I got to go all the way to the back. I got tired. And I said, when is it going to be my turn? And he said, it's been your turn. Been your turn. You better hear what I'm saying. I hate when you got to walk to the back, son. I hate when you can't get the car you wanted. I hate it as much as you hate it. But the problem is, I want it more than you want it.
Hello, Jermaine. This is Stephanie. I'm so happy that you took the time to join the show. Say hello to the audience.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Stephanie. I'm grateful that you would actually ask me to be on the show. So this is actually an honor and a privilege.
Awesome. Can you tell everyone just a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and just so we can get an idea of where you're coming from?
Okay, my name is Jermaine Hughes. I am from Oakland, California.
I'm actually one chauffeur, limousine bus driver right now, as well as a personal trainer at 24 Hour Fitness. And I'm also looking to get into some financial coaching. And so that's one thing that we'll get into a little bit today. But yeah, that's what I do for as an occupation right now.
Well, that's super awesome. I know you're basically the man who's got like 5,000 jobs, always on the hustle. That's how we first connected, because I was like, dang, this guy's super motivated and you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning or earlier just like me. That was our bond, like the pre-dawn risers. I saw recently, because when we first became friends a couple years ago, one of the goals that we talked about was becoming debt-free, you know? And I saw recently you post that you paid off some major debt, maybe all of it? Was it all of it or just some major chunk of it?
Yeah, it was a big chunk. I paid off my credit cards. I actually have only two more debts, so that's what's cool. One is my student loan debt and one is my car debt. What's cool about the student loan debt is it's actually smaller than the car debt. So
oh, wow.
I'm actually going to try to pay that off in a couple of months at the most. I feel like I would be done with that pretty soon. And then the car debt, my ambitious part of me says let's do it by next January. But I definitely feel like I'm going to run into some obstacles only because I have other aspirations to, you know, with my money. And so, but that would be ideal, is that I could finish it by the end of the year, 2017. Yeah.
Wow. So I want to go back to that. You mentioned that you had paid off a big chunk of debt. How much debt was it? You don't mind saying.
All together, well, what was happening, well, too, is I had to pay off my personal training debt for, what was that? Yeah, for personal training, which was a class I took to get certified. And that was like $1,000-something. I had to pay off my security deposit because I had to move in August, and that was about $700. I had to take a loan to move when I moved in August, and that was about $700. I had about the total debt when I first got hit by the IRS was like $1,200 for them, and I paid it off as well. And I also went and paid off a credit card for Capital One, which was about $850, $870, something like that. And then I also had another card for my dental bill. Ooh, that dental bill, boy. And so that the initial cost of the procedure was like $800. And I actually got that procedure back in maybe 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had like $600 on that debt due.
Because it was just haunting you.
It was just haunting me. Like, it would just not go away. Like, I'm like, oh, here's $25, here's $40, here's $60. And nothing was happening. And so I honestly, with the Capital One debt, but that one especially, I keep it on my phone just because it's like a freaking big deal that I actually got rid of that one, because I had no idea that I would be able to do that in the time period that I was able to do it in. So
okay,
I
lost track. That is super exciting. I mean, super, super, super exciting, because we all have debt. We all start the year like, these are my goals. I'm going to pay this off. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
All that.
And all that, right? And we're for sure this time. And
I
you can definitely accomplish your goals. It's just, you know, making some... I was going to say like goal setting, so you can break it into smaller pieces, you know, and you can have, different methods and strategies to get there. I lost track of how much debt you have, but let's say about $5,000, roughly, it sounded like, roughly about five
yeah.
grand.
Yeah.
So how did you pay it off?
Okay, so the short story is I got a raise around the time that I got a raise. So but then I also got a job around the time that I got the raise. And so what happened is the beginning of the year, let's say the end of 2015, I moved in with a friend. And my friend was like, I only charge you $500 a month. You know, everything will be good. And I'm like, $500? Used to pay like $700 to $800. And so I'll be able to, you know, save some money, and I'll get to put it to different things that I want to spend it on. And I said, this is good because I also just got the job that I was working now. And so I was also making a little bit more. And so I was like, oh, cool. So the first thing I did when I got my job at the end of 2015 was went shopping, right? I was like, I got to get this jacket for the winter. I got to get, you know, winter clothes. I got to get the clothes for the job. And so my thinking was everything was going to be fine from this point on. Mm-hmm. However, January comes along, and the first problem was that the week between Christmas and New Year's, we didn't have work. All the companies that we drive for, all the employees are flying away and so forth, so we didn't have work. And I didn't know that was happening. So there was a week of income that was just missing. And I was like, oh, no. Okay. So January and February were consumed with recovering from that week. I really didn't get to do Christmas because all the money that I thought I had, I actually needed to keep. So I didn't get to spend much on Christmas. And this time, so by February, I was still kind of reeling from that event. But I was like, okay, let's get some money back. You know, we're going to do this little Valentine's Day thing, and then we're going to be back. At the beginning of March, we get a letter on our door that says, termination of tenancy. And it did not say what was wrong. It just said, you guys have 60 days to leave the premises. Everything, you know, has to be cleaned and so on and so forth. You know, that's just what it is. So all of March was about me trying to put together some money so that I could move by the beginning of May. I found a place at the middle of May. It was open. So from May 1st to May 10th, I literally had to, like, just find somewhere to stay. And so I stayed at the church for a couple of weeks, and then I left. So I started living somewhere between May and August. And between May and August, I actually had to simply just keep money coming in. Everything was kind of going normal. But when August came, I had to move, and there was hardly anyone accepting any applications or anything. Like, no one would call back, no one would text back or anything. And I knew that I had to have money to move. So I said, okay, I'll have the security deposit for that. So I have like $700 for that. I sold my motorcycle. So I said, I have some money for that, for the security deposit. So I have $1,400. I walked up, I met this guy. He actually responded. And he said, to move in, you need $2,100. And I was like, oh. So I went and called somebody. I said, hey, I need a loan from the credit union. The credit union said, fine, here's $700. Great. So I give him $1,400. He says, you could pay off the $700 over the next couple of months between August and September. I go, cool, that's fine. Let me try to figure out how I'm actually going to pay this off. Meanwhile, my car stops, like literally a week before I had to move. So I had to get another vehicle. Found myself at the auto dealership, purchased a car. And that whole month, this is actually really important because I got like a new car, right? So this whole time in August, I'm bugging out. I'm thinking, why do I have a new car? I lost my mind. What was I thinking? How am I going to pay for this new car? And then I begin to think, Jermaine, how can you make money? How can you make money? Okay, so you have a new car. You're going to do Uber, and you need $400 a month. So each week, make $100 with Uber and put the money aside and pay your car note with the $400. I had just also gotten in the middle of September, 24-Hour Fitness employed me. And so I was like, cool, okay, now I work at 24-Hour Fitness. That's like $200 or so every 2 weeks. That'll be added to the income that I have. And around the time of training, I actually was moving my bus license up from a Class B to a Class B with air brakes. And so that means I was driving like a shuttle bus and learning to drive a coach bus. So that's like 25 passengers, and now I have a bus that fits like 56 passengers. So that was actually one time consuming, but it was really scary because it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is actually happening. I'm in this big old bus, You know, I never had to do something so big, you know.
Exactly.
And it feels different. It feels cool, but it also feels scary. And so it was a learning process. All of August was really consumed with learning how to drive this bus. And then, so I get a raise from, I think I was making $20 an hour to going to $23 an hour with the bus job. And in the middle of September, the union calls our job and lets us know that they want to meet with us and give us and join our company. So in the beginning of October, they say, you guys' wages are going to go up. Right? And I'm like, so it went from 23 to like $27 per hour. And
that's
so what was
difference.
Cool was, what was great about it was that it happened so fast to where I had just got the other raise, but before I could really get used to having more money, I had some more. And so I was like, hey, this is what we'll do. Let's just pay off these debts with all the excess that we're used to not having. You know what
right.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, what allowed me to be able to budget well was that in 2013, I think it was actually, I started reading a book by this guy named Dave Ramsey, and it's called Total Money Makeover. And it talked about putting together, one, an emergency fund, two, paying off all of your debts, and after you're paying off all your debts, put together a larger emergency fund, which is about 6 months of expenses. And so I knew about this for about 3 years, and I would try it, and these emergencies would keep coming up, and they would just take all my emergency money, you know,
right?
Throw me off completely financially. And so I go, okay, you know, whenever I could get this going, I'll try to make sense. But so when I got the car, I lost my mind. So I said, Jermaine, you absolutely have to get a budget. You absolutely have to figure out what you're going to do with your finances. And you absolutely have to figure out how you're going to pay for this freaking car. So the fear that was imposed on me because of the fact that I purchased the car was really like the biggest impetus to help me to be able to do this, because I was absolutely terrified. And so I'm talking about, I would get my paycheck and normally I would get about $1,200 to $1,400 from one paycheck at this job. But since I was working at 24-hour fitness, I would get paid the same Friday. And so after the raise, we would get probably like $1,700. But with the 24-hour fitness job, it was about $2,000 each paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So I go every paycheck, I would take it, and I would go straight to wherever I needed to go, whether it was to the bank, whether it was get on my phone and hit up IRS. You know, I mean, I would immediately, every Friday, it wouldn't be Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. I mean, as soon as I got paid, I would go ahead and immediately do the transaction, you know? And so the debts just began to just fall down. The first one was NASM. I had like $400 left on that one. And then it was the security deposit. And so what was good about both the security deposit and NASM was that they cost a whole lot each month. NASM was $170 a month.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, $140. And the security deposit was like $350 a month. So once I knocked those out, then I had that much more money at the end of the month, you know?
Right.
And so I was just taking all the money, again, every paycheck, bam, knock this one out, knock that one out, knock this one out, knock that one out. The biggest one was with Capital One, which is about $870. And that one took a couple of paychecks. I actually had some issues with the bus driving job, so I couldn't work a few days. And so I actually had to replace a little bit of that income by doing some more hours with Uber and then saving money for the paycheck days and so on and so forth. But it was all about doing what Dave Ramsey calls the debt snowball, which is attacking the debt from smallest to largest, that you have the motivation and the momentum to go to the next debt and to the next debt and to the next debt, because you know that you're actually accomplishing something versus, oh, I'll get the biggest debt first because it's, you know, the most expensive
right.
one. And then you get so tired from doing it and you don't see any headway, you say, you know what, forget this. I'm going to go buy, you know, some shoes and a jacket because because it's pointless anyway. So, yeah, he said the smallest from the to the largest. So that's just what I did.
The time is now. On everything. Took my heart away from money. I ain't interested in fame. And I pray that never change. Ambition is priceless. It's something that's in your veins. And I put that on my name.
Only hope I had was selling dope. Was on my grind cause times was harder than the seller float. My mama taught me never steal and never telling folks. I grew up looking up the niggas that was selling coke. Oh, I was raised by the stop sign. No religion, I was getting saved by the Glock 9. By the minute, I was getting paid like the hotline. Serving rolling, fiends was calling. We was that kind, well connected, well respected and well protected. And get accepted, was rejected, now they regret it. And get my message, was the signal when I was texting. The niggas I was calling was fraud and I learned my lesson. Now I move with aggression, use my mind as a weapon. Cause chances are never given, they took them like interceptions. So throw that pass, I'll be the cornerback. Me and Falar and MMG gon' bring that Warner back.
For my ambition. Easy to dream a dream, though it's harder to live it. They gon' love me for my ambition. Easy to dream a dream, though it's harder to live it. They gon' love me for my ambition. A dream, but what's harder to live? They gon' love me for my ambition.
It speaks for itself.
Beautiful music, painting pictures, it be my vision.
Defines ambition for me.
That's amazing. Did you also, you mentioned something about the cash envelope method. Did you use that for this, or?
Yes. Okay, so I'm pretty complicated. Hi, my name is Duran, and I'm complicated. So the cash envelope system could usually, I think a normal person would say, hey, I have about 6-7 bills. I have, you know, my car payment. I have the food fund. And I'll have the, you know, free time fund. And I'll have a budget for those types of things. But what I learned when I first started looking at budgeting was something called sinking funds. And sinking funds is what you do when you have a faraway event, let's say Christmas, and let's say it's July. You say, okay, in 6 months, I need to spend $600 for all the people in my family for Christmas. So each paycheck, I'll put a little bit aside just for that particular holiday. But I knew all about this for some years. So when I started to put together my budget, I said, I'm going to do sinking funds for every holiday and for every, what's that called? Every single birthday as well. Mm-hmm. So I created a sinking fund for Christmas. I created a sinking fund for my birthday, for my mom's birthday and my dad's birthday, and my brother's birthday, for my little niece's birthday. And so each paycheck, I'll put together maybe $5 to this, $20 to that, $45 to Christmas, you know. And so I was actually, with that said, I had a larger envelope system than probably anybody on the planet. I have like 3 folders, and they probably each had like 6 to 10 different.
But it worked for you.
Exactly. I mean, so I would go, what I do is I go to the on Friday, I get paid, I go to the bank, and I'll have all of these amounts written down. And so this $7 to that, $12 to that, you know, $8 to that, $50 to that, that's Sprint. And so everything would be tallied up, and I would have all the bills I would need to have this specific amount of money. So in order for me to pay all of these funds off accordingly, I would have, you know, 8 $100 bills, you know, 12 50s, 17 20s, something like that, right? Walk up to the bank teller, say, hey, this much money, these are the exact bills that I need, I would take all those ones, and I'm sorry, all of the cash. I would go sit down, and I would begin to put it in all these different slots, all the different slots. Bam, bam, 20 here, 21 there, 17, 15, 12, whatever I have to do for those specific amounts of money. And what it allows me to do is to, one, put it somewhere. One, first, it allows me to feel the cash. Like, filling the cash is delicious, right? Like, it just like, oh, like I have $1,000 or $2,000 in my hand right now. The second part is that it allows me to put the money away so that I know, one, that the money is where it's supposed to be, but then two, is that if it's in the ATM and you just have a bunch of cash in the ATM, you're probably thinking, I have money, so I could buy this thing, I could go buy that thing, and I still have some left, so you're not exactly sure how much is going to what. So that allowed me to eliminate the temptation that I would normally get to spend an excessive amount of money because I have a whole lot of money inside of the checking account or inside the savings account. And so I take all the cash, put it there, put it all in the envelope, take it home, either leave it in my trunk or leave it at home somewhere because I don't need all that on me. And I'd only keep on me the money that I allotted for food, the money that I allotted for gas money, the money that I allotted myself for, the haircut, you know, anything that would happen pretty immediately, I would keep the cash for. But everything else would be either put into the envelopes or be put back into the bank for me to do the online transactions.
That's brilliant. And you know what's so good about that is you hit a couple of things. First of all, you got to feel the cash. So everyone wants that, you know, the instant gratification from all the work and efforts you put in to get that paycheck. And then you had a system of spending, you know, instead of the concept of saving, which a lot of people are adverse to because, again, delayed gratification can be challenging. It's like with the envelope system, it's like you felt like you got to spend it in a way, you know, and then not having that ATM, you know, handy, that debit card, you know, again, you're able to delay gratification by out of sight, out of mind. And I really like how you said take on the smallest bill first, because I'm one of those people who are like, oh, I'm going to start with a big one. Sorry, I'm by an airport.
Right.
But, you know, and only recently did I say, okay, well, maybe I should just start with a small one just to get it done. And you motivated me. I saw your Instagram post and I had already had like, oh, I need to pay off debt. And I looked at my credit cards and I was like, I found with my budget just a little bit extra money that I didn't expect. And I was like, oh, okay, and let's just pay off, you know, this one. And it was, I had enough money to pay off that balance, and then I cut the card. It's still an open account, but I cut the card so that I wouldn't be tempted to use it again, you know?
Right.
Save it for emergencies.
And I feel like one of the things that I did mention, but it is an actual like big part of the accomplishment, was creating the emergency fund. Because what I did was when I first started getting these raises, I said, let me put the money towards the emergency fund. And this is why, because I started doing this back in 2013, and I remember paying off some Amazon account. I paid off a dental bill back then. I think I paid off another credit card for like Nordstrom that I created, one for like Macy's. And these were like some smaller debts, but they were debts that, you know, I did that year. And I was all excited because I, you know, made sure that I didn't have any money in the emergency. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't have any credit card debt anymore. I was like, yay, good. Time to move on to the student loan, blah, blah, blah. But surely enough, I think by December of that ending year, so by the end of 2013, I had an emergency where I had to spend $600, like in one day. And so I had an issue with the car, and so $600, and that was all of the money that I had saved, partially because I was so excited about spending money on the debts that I didn't really save $1,000. And one thing that Dave Ramsey says to do, as soon as you spend any money from the emergency fund, to refill it. And the event was pretty devastating. And there was really never a time where I, one, was determined to save $1,000. But then two, not really another time where I was really able to save $1,000, like I had at that time. And so when I got this raise, I mean, my excitement was, like I said, too, because of desperation, my excitement was super high. So I was like, let's do this emergency fund right now, because one is I never did it, and then two, right, because if I don't do it and an emergency happens, the first thing I'm going to do is go to the credit card, right? Like the first thing I do is say, look, I have a $2,500 balance. I only spent $700, $800 on this credit card. If the car breaks down or anything happens, I'm going to go to the credit card. So I'll say, get this money, put it in the bank, and leave it there. And then secondly, fight to not spend it. Like, if there is an emergency, try your best to find a way not to use it. Like, don't use it as much as you can, because sometimes, you know, we say emergencies are things that really aren't emergencies, you know? And again, given the fact that I got the new car and I can drive for Uber, that gives me some way to kind of work and get some money, even when I just finished work or there's no work that day because it's a Saturday. I don't have any clients at the gym, so I don't have any means to make money right then. Uber gave me the opportunity to say, you know what, I can work literally whenever I felt like it, because there's usually somebody that needs a ride, especially in the evening, especially way in the morning. And so it just meant, hey, man, like, find a way to make this money so you don't have to use the emergency fund, because you never know when the real emergency is going to come, you know?
Exactly.
You know, when,
like,
that,
last year,
something shows up in the mail, I'm listening.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to be ready. You know, last year I got really sick, and I couldn't work for 3 weeks for the first time in years. And for the first time in my life, I actually had a savings, like, of enough to cover 1 month, like, expenses. It was, like, my big accomplishment. And it wiped it all out. You know?
Right.
It wiped it all out. And I was just so grateful that I had that savings. I had a lot of vacation pay. You know, it was just, like, because I hadn't taken any days off. And it was just one of those where I was like, wow, that whole planning for a rainy day, I was finally ready, you know. Now, I still don't have emergency savings anymore, but I do know the value of having it when you need it, you know. I did want to ask you, what did you do when you were tempted to cheat? What were some of the strategies or tips, or what did you do when you felt like cheating? What gave you strength to, like, you know, stay on
course? You know what? I honestly, I feel like one of my strengths and one of my weaknesses is that when I start going, it's hard for me to stop. and so, honestly, within this last few months, I mean, I was so adamant about getting debt-free that, like, nothing could really, like, stop me. Because, again, most of the debts were about $300 to $500 by this point in time. You know, they started at different amounts before when I first incurred them, but at this point they were only about $300 to $500. And so each paycheck, I mean, okay, for instance, when I had to pay off the dental bill, it was about $650, and I had just paid off the IRS, which was about $350. And so I was used to, I said, hey, I have about $600 to spare this week. So what I'll do is I'll pay off the, IRS bill with this one right now. So I went online, called the number, did whatever I had to do, found out a way to do it, sent the money, and was like, awesome, perfect, this is great. And then I was like, okay, well, I have a couple hundred more dollars. What am I going to do with this couple hundred more dollars? And I was so eager. That's the word. I was so eager to pay off the next $600 that I think that I spent the remaining money that I had that month, or I'm sorry, that paycheck on the $600, and I think I had probably spent like $400 on it. And I probably should have only spent like $200, $250.
Yeah, but I was just out there.
Yeah, like I was just so freaking eager to make it happen to where, again, by the time I was about to get paid again, I was kind of like searching around for food, kind of like, so that was actually my issue. I feel like was that I was actually tempted to put more on the debt than I actually had in my wallet. I wasn't super excited about spending money on, let's say, some clothing or something else. there were the moments in which I was struggling to work like the full week. And so what happened is I got this license back in September, and between October and December, like I was having these small incidents in my buses, and where I would, you know, bump into like a mailbox or something, and or bump into like a fence or something. I'm like, oh crap. And so I tell the manager, and they're like, okay, Jermaine, you're therefore you can't work, you know, tomorrow and Thursday or something like that. And I'll go, okay, like, dang. And so immediately I go, well, get in this car, go
start
doing Uber, make that money, figure out a way, how much you got to make. You know, you got to put some aside for taxes and all that. So figure out how much that is and then, you know, make up as much as you can. But again, my focus was on it so hard to where I really wasn't tempted to stray much.
But I would say this too, though. Yeah.
I would just say that because of the problems that I've had in the last few years, that I think that also would give me that extreme focus, you know, because yeah. Like we said, I've had the car issue where I did save $600 and it was all gone. You know, I had the issue where, you know, I did pay off my debt and then, you know, I purchased something and I can't really keep up with those payments, so I try to cancel it. And they say, well, actually, it's too late to cancel it for this month, so here's $200 more that you have to pay on this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually incurring debt on accident. And so I think that I was just so tired of that feeling, and I knew what that was all about, to where it made it really easy to resist the temptations too.
Yeah, you felt like you had already been, you know, suffering and meandering in the world of debt and emergencies and being broke, that you've experienced it, okay? So now you're like, let's move on to bigger things. What would you say, once you pay off all your debt, like, what is your next big goal? What are you looking forward to? Where will you be using your energy?
Well, I feel like, for instance, once I pay off everything, if I am done with the car and I'm done with the student loans and stuff, what I'll end up doing, the big next thing would be the bigger emergency fund. And the bigger emergency fund is going to be like, basically what it's supposed to be is 6 months of expenses. And so for me in this current state, it would be something like, I don't know, like 7 to 14,000, like somewhere in between there is how much I need to save. So that if, just like what you were talking about, if I fall ill one day, you know, I'm driving, somebody hits me, you know, I'm down and out for a month at least or something like that, then for 6 months, everything is still coming out of my account. And it's not coming out because I'm getting paid. It's coming out because it's just been sitting there. So that's the next big plan. I mean, first it's dealing with this car. But after I deal with the car, it is the 6 month emergency fund.
I was going to ask you, so after you do that, and the whole goal with getting your 6 months of emergency fund is you're looking for stability so that you can actually build something?
No. So the idea behind that one is that it should be separate from, like, for instance, like, different things that I want to do with, you know, business. Like, okay, part of me is thinking, hey, you know, I do want to get into speaking, and so I'm going to have to invest some money into creating events, creating content online. I thought about, maybe like a camera or something like that, some microphones, blah, blah, blah. So a lot of these things have come to mind as things that I want to invest in, but So the idea would be to, you know, still figure out ways to buy things that I need and that I want for other endeavors, but at the same time, do as much as I can to create this 6 month emergency fund. And there's also, you know, the idea of like, oh, saving up to buy a house and stuff like that. But the idea behind, I feel like, honestly, the idea behind a lot of what Dave Ramsey has mentioned, whether it's the emergency fund, whether it's the getting debt free, the emergency 6 month emergency fund, and anything after that, I feel like a lot of it boils back down to, what if a real tragedy hits you? You know, what if, I mean, the real stuff happens, whether it's, you know, a death in the family and there's no one paying the funeral expenses, and it's all on you to pull that together, or, you know, you're driving down the street and someone, I mean, totals your car and you are injured and you're down and out for, you know, at least a couple of months. Like, he, I feel like, is speaking to some of the worst tragedies that we can imagine happening to us and being able to withstand them, you know, because the truth is, you know, if we don't have these emergency funds put into place, we're vulnerable to a lot of things. But the second part is we end up creating more problems when we can't afford what just happened to us. You know, the moment at which you say, oh my gosh, I just got into a car wreck, let me call my dad or let me call mom, they're going to help me out. You begin to, one, spread the turmoil, so now they actually have to contribute and make something happen for you. And then secondly is then you have to start paying them back, you know. I'm sure that there's people that have had injuries where they have all these hospital expenses, and fortunately, they actually had, you know, this much money to the side to where whatever the hospital didn't cover, that they can actually take care of it with their own money. And so the idea, I feel like, the importance of it comes back to the fact that we don't know what's going to happen later on today. You know, we don't know how bad it's going to be when something happens, whether we lose our job, we get laid off, we get fired. Again, someone moves in because something happened with them, and now you have to help take care of them. You know, we just never know. And so the idea is, you know, to be as prepared as we possibly can.
Definitely. I think those are some really great tips. Thank you so much for, like, sharing your story, how you did it, why you did it. I think a lot of people can relate, you know, just everyday, ordinary people, whether you make $100,000 a year or whether you're making minimum wage, people tend to go into debt based on their spending habits. And people who make more money run, you know, they can, they're still living paycheck to paycheck because their expenses are so high if they don't have their budget in control, you know? So I do,
you know, they
appreciate
got the big
house,
it. They got the big car. Yeah.
Exactly. Big house, big car. They're stunting on Instagram, going on vacation. You know how it is. It's like, that's all on credit. We all know that's on credit, and that,
right,
you know.
Right. You know, the whole outfit, you know, it went to dinner for the birthday, you know, everything.
Yep, all on credit, and you're swimming in debt, and, you know, we can do better than that. If we're not in debt, then we don't have to work like a slave, you know, you're actually free.
Right.
The whole debt-free thing is the closest you'll get to freedom for most of us. I wanted to ask you about some science stuff, but I'm running short on time. But I do always ask my guests, what three songs would they want to reflect them on the podcast? Because that would be your soundtrack for the podcast.
The three songs that,
yep,
that you would like to have played?
Yep, off the top of your head right now, under a lot of pressure. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so a little bit of my ratchetness is about to be exposed.
That's okay.
The very first song that came to my mind is Ambition by, I think it's by Wale, and it has like Meek Mill and Rick Ross.
And it's called Ambition?
Ambition. Okay. That one song, like, when I hear the beat, I'm like, oh, I already know this song. And so that one is all about Ambition going hard. There's another one by Kevin Gates, and I'm trying to remember the name right now. I feel like it is Get It.
Get It by Kevin Gates?
Yes. And that one, he talks about working six jobs. this is what it's called. This is IDGT, and that is for I Don't Get Tired. That's the name of the song, I believe, IDGT.
Okay.
I Don't Get Tired.
I'm excited.
And I feel like the last one, I want to shout out Eric Thomas because he gives me a lot of motivation.
What's his name again?
Eric Thomas.
Eric Thomas.
And he has an album. He's a speaker, but he has an album where he like puts a little bit of music to some of his speeches. And I think the one that comes to mind, I have to go with I Got Tired.
What's it called?
I Got Tired.
I Got Tired. So I Don't Get Tired, and I Got Tired.
Exactly. But again, they're both getting at the same thing of like, so I don't stop. Like he says, I got tired. I got tired of living like this. I got tired of, you know, paycheck to paycheck. I got tired of, you know, eating on a garbage can. Like that whole thing. So he's like, now I'm done. Like I ain't going back. You know, that whole type of narrative.
I'm excited. I love listening to everyone's like song selection because it widens my repertoire. Can you do one more thing? I always have the person on the show do the intro for the next show. So if you could say your first name and your last name and say that you're on the Dope Science Show, and you can ad-lib, but the crucial things are your first name and your last name and that you're on the Dope Science Show.
Cool. I would love to. Okay, so just go? Do I just start now?
Yeah, you could do as many takes as you want.
All right. This is Jermaine Hughes from Oakland, and I am on the Dope Science Show with Stephanie Lowe.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
You got it on the first take. Awesome. That was really good.
Right.
Cool. I really appreciate your time, Jermaine. I wish we could have talked more about science. I'm going to add in just some science tips and things as far as like the science behind delayed gratification, motivation, and things like that to this episode as well.
Nice. That will be great.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon. I'll be in the Bay on the end of February, so hopefully we can like meet up.
Yes, definitely. Again, it was great.
It's the last weekend, so I'll let you know the details on what days I'll be in town.
Cool. Definitely.
Cool. Well, I'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye.
I want them dead presidents. I want to pull up, head spin, get it, get fly. I got six jobs. I don't get tired.
Full-time artist, ex-guard, he said grind harder, learn from every time you ever fail, if it never fail, just grind smarter, iron sharpened, you the dag on their hindquarters, and they all acting, rap game, I'm a pallbearer, kill me, get a call after, first look, it was all laughter, Kevin Gates, no small matter, made men believe when they didn't believe, dive in the crowd, no safety holders, got in the booth, no safety on it, aiming, I shoot for the stars, got the award, I ain't win no awards, only meaning one thing, don't get tired, I go hard.
I was trying to get it how I live. I want them dead presidents.
Nah, nah.
I want to pull up, head spin, get it, get fly. I got six jobs. I don't get tired.
So I always want to bring in some science, right? So I looked up an article to find out a little bit more about self-control and our brains. I found an article on the website Science Daily. The title is called Overcoming Egocentricity Increases Self-Control. The University of Zurich conducted a study where they found neurobiological models of self-control usually focus on brain mechanisms involved in impulse control and emotion regulation. Recent research shows that the mechanism for overcoming egocentricity also facilitates self-control. This may open up new possibilities for therapeutic interventions. So basically, they observed the brain under different states. Usually, they focus on the area of the brain called the prefrontal cortex, with the ability to keep oneself at bay when tempted by immediately appealing offers. So usually what they'll do is they'll give a subject a choice for immediate gratification or delayed gratification. And usually they observe the prefrontal cortex to see what mechanisms are involved in that decision. Now they've recently shown that a second mechanism is also important for self-control: being able to direct attention to one's future needs. I can get that. I can see that. What they do is they found that people have greater self-control when they view their future self as a different person. In the study, people chose between a smaller payoff given immediately and a larger payoff given in the future, as well as between a payoff that only benefited themselves and a payoff that benefited them less but also benefited another person. The researchers used non-invasive brain stimulation techniques to disrupt activation in a so-called temporal parietal junction, a region at the side towards the back of the brain. After disruption of this brain region, people tended to make choices that were both more impulsive, for example, choosing the immediate payoff, and more selfish, choosing the payoff for themselves only, and were less able to take the perspective of other persons. This association between the brain, basis of perspective taking, and patience sheds a new light on self-control. From neural perspective, the temporal parietal, you know I can't speak you guys, right? junction may represent the own future self like another person. That is their hypothesis. This means that the same brain mechanisms may be necessary to be patient for a future gain and for being able to share with another person. This finding opens up new avenues for treating self-control deficits and disorders like addiction and obesity. From my understanding, I'm usually able to have self-control when I'm thinking about my future self in a different perspective in life. You know, at that new job, at my new skinny self, sharing an event with someone, birthday gifts, things like that. And if you listen to my conversation with Jermaine, it seems as if he's actually using the same type of idea as well, with keeping his envelopes with cash for special events that incorporate other people, birthdays, and things like that. So I thought that was a really interesting idea. What do you guys do for self-control? Let me know in the comments. Do you have a lot of self-control? I'm a very impulsive person myself. It takes a lot of focus and consideration for me to have self-control. But it's a lifestyle. It really is. And it's a habit that actually gets easier over time. If you're looking at your overall habits, they find that people who don't eat junk food, they have better self-control. People who exercise, they have better self-control. So let's look at our lifestyles and see what we can do. Talk to y'all soon. Happy Monday.